We are recording on the lands of the Wurundjeri and Boonwurrung peoples. We want to pay our respects to Indigenous elders past and present. Recognize that sovereignty over this land was never ceded, and that colonization and genocide are still ongoing on this land.
And always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Hey, welcome to the very first ever episode of Auspol Shit Pod.
Yeah, we're kind of thinking that this will be a bit of a dry run. Probably won't get released publicly. Just going to see if anybody on the page is even slightly interested in something like this. So yeah, this is about sounding everybody out a little bit. So let us know what you reckon.
Get in the comments, tell us to peep your zines, give us your hot takes, and tell us that we're completely wrong about everything.
Yeah, that as much of that as possible would be great. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hey, I'm Noon, who probably most of you know as Ino Funkenstein, the admin of Auspol Shitposting.
And I go by Zach the Snack on Facebook because I don't want anybody from my work to ever read anything I post or know that anything that I've said here came from my mouth. And I'm probably best known on Auspol Shitposting for having extremely rampant posting binges whenever I'm really bored at work, roughly once every 2 months, and then going completely silent.
And being the only person on the page who doesn't like Patricia Karvelas.
Not a fan. Get into it on another episode. on a theoretical future episode, which may or may not ever happen. Cool. So, this will be a podcast where we talk about the memes behind the news and the news behind the memes, is the idea.
That's our sort of working tagline that we're working with at the moment. But if you guys have better ideas for a snappy one-liner that describes this show, please let us know.
Yeah, or tell us to stop forever. That is the other
also fine
option. And on that note, I guess it's probably it's something I just wanted to say up top is that I feel like a lot of the conversation around politics and stuff in this country tends to be about the circus that is kind of happens in Canberra and treating the whole thing like a bit of a soap opera, and there's like, oh, juicy drama. And that sometimes I can come off as being kind of flippant and not acknowledging that a lot of the issues that are being discussed are actually life and death for a lot of people. So while we obviously want to make jokes because we like memes, we also want to acknowledge that there is, you know, it's not all fun and games. And even though we ourselves both occupy positions of pretty hefty privilege in a number of ways, that, you know, we acknowledge that is not everybody else's experience. So just wanted to get that out of the way off top.
Yeah, nice. So I think we're going to start with discussing a few of the big news items from the last couple of days. And one that I think probably a lot of people have heard about is that Corey Bernardi has dissolved the Australian Conservative Party.
After
a year and a half?
2 years? 18 months?
Yeah. Which is, you know, more successful than any political party that I've started, but that's not saying a whole lot.
It's definitely more successful than the one political party that you briefly joined.
Yeah, they still exist. Yeah, they're beating the Conservatives by a good year and a half, I reckon. They're up to three.
That's
yeah.
true. And yeah. I'm pretty sure that Corey Bernardi's Conservative Party didn't have somebody in a tutu at their party launch.
Yep, too conservative. but
shout out to Evil Planet. We love you guys, even though... I mean, to be fair, I feel like Adrian contributes some of the absolute shittest posts to the page, and the amount of rage that he generates is, I mean, that's clicks.
It's true. It is good for the shit posts. But yeah, Corey Bernardi, look, fuck that guy. So I am very happy to see his pet project crash and burn. I heard some people suggesting that basically it's because Malcolm Turnbull's gone, and now the Liberal Party is like under a conservative Christian leader, and he's like, oh, cool, I can go back to the Liberal Party now that they're not trying to be liberals anymore.
We've got to hand him like blind faith in the market, like, oh, I don't want to, it's already a crowded marketplace. This is it's already been taken care of.
That's the other less ideological explanation, is that there's very little chance of him getting elected in 3 years' time when he's up for re-election in the Senate. So he's... Yeah, the idea is that he's going to try and get back onto the Liberal ticket.
Fucking hell. Do you reckon that'd happen?
Maybe. I mean, he's a very... He was very popular when he was in the Liberal Party. He was, like... He's good at talking to people, and he's a vote winner and a media circus guy. But he did leave very loudly, so maybe not.
That's an excellent point.
And, of course, I want to thank him for absorbing Family First into the Conservatives before he shut it down. So now that's actually two Conservative parties that he's destroyed. So good on you, Corey.
He's actually quite an efficient ally. I feel like that we kind of call that... We were using the term Corey Bernardi-ing. I can't remember what the context was, but he said something good maybe 2 years ago.
Broken clock.
Yeah, and even a Corey Bernardi is right.
It's the Ozpol shitposting motto.
Yeah. 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 Okay.
Cool, so that's all about the Conservatives. What next?
Yeah, so one of the other things that has been sort of dominating the news cycle in what seems to be a pretty, like, slow week, to be honest, I haven't read much of the news this week, so obviously I decided to start a news podcast.
Listen to our very well-informed opinions.
Extremely, yeah, another great reason why we're doing this. So, but yes, basically Peter Dutton emerging from the shadows post-election, where they kind of kept him away in his shadowy little box. And now he's being let out to, explicitly sow the seeds of fear and hate, racism and xenophobia, because, to coin a phrase, they now have a mandate, I guess, for that exact thing. So, yeah, he's been talking a lot about repealing the Medivac bill, which is also a top priority, I think, for the Nationals have also...
And so that Medivac bill was the legislation that meant that sick people on Manus and Nauru could come to Australia for treatment. And it was passed just at the end of the last term of government, against the will of the government, basically.
Yeah, which was, a historic win in the sense that it was, you know, that particular thing of legislation being passed in opposition to the government hadn't happened in, I think, 90 years. So in terms of a very, like, technical milestone, that was big. But one of the kind of tricky things around this issue, I think, is, you know, on the one hand, it's a very important piece of legislation because it is actually having an effect on people on the ground. And, you know, I think a couple of hundred, maybe 200 people have been flown into Australia.
No any of them, actually.
No any of them?
I think there's only been, like, six.
Oh, fuck.
I
don't know where I got that number from.
Before the bill was passed, the government were like, 100 people are going to come into the country. And in fact, it's been barely any. But there's been a new amendment to the Medivac bill proposed that would change the way that doctors are able to recommend people be flown to the mainland. So I think up until now, the doctors had to see them in person. And the idea of this new change would be that the doctor only has to look at their files to recommend that they get flown to Australia. Which, if you're not an inhuman racist jerkbag like our immigration minister, is obviously sensible. But now they're being like, well, now there's really going to be hundreds of people coming in. Though there's no evidence that that's true.
Mm.
But instead of that amendment, it looks likely that the whole thing might be repealed. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel, I guess, kind of conflicted about it. Like, repealing the bill is obviously an awful thing. The way that progressives have been sort of celebrating the passing of that bill is this important step forward for the political debate around refugees in this country is, I think, kind of, depressing in the sense that it clearly represents that the goalposts on this issue have been moved so far to the right that literally fulfilling our requirements under the International Convention on Human Rights, which we, you know, Australia was an important contributor to the drafting of, even just fulfilling our kind of a super basic requirements for providing people with healthcare was regarded as this like important political win, the fact that the left, I suppose, you know, or anybody who gives a fuck about human beings has been so far beaten down and into this corner on this issue that we regard the absolute bare minimum as a win is pretty dark. So that's the entirety of my analysis on that issue.
Yeah, I basically agree, and I just want to add one thing about Christina Keneally, who's the Labour Immigration Affairs Shadow Minister, so sort of the opposition equivalent to Peter Dutton. And I kind of feel mixed about her. She has a weird history in politics that we don't need to get into right now. But she has been pretty fucking terrible since she's been given this position. She's basically been like, we want to torture these refugees more humanely.
I mean, partially that. I think also she's been trying to outflank Dutton pretty, like, from the right, and being like, he's talking about stopping the boats, but he's not talking about stopping the planes. And that's the real issue here. And that's like, wow, okay. They've really, like, dispensed with the dog whistling and gone full, like, we're just going to go toe-to-toe with the libs on this.
The planes thing is interesting, though, because, I mean, as anyone who has been looking at, like, quote-unquote illegal immigration to Australia knows, the people who are coming by boat are a very small non-white minority of illegal migrants. I'm sorry to use that word, but flame me in the comments.
People who asylum?
Well, I'm trying to distinguish not all these people. A lot of people who are coming by plane are like British backpackers or American tourists or French tourists or whatever, who then overstay their visas and basically
represent a massive majority of the people who are actually like flaunting our immigration laws.
100%.
Are stupid and bad.
Agree. So maybe this stop the boats thing, the stop the planes thing could, and I'm putting on my like least cynical hat here, could represent a turn towards not specifically being shit towards black and brown people.
Except that she hasn't mentioned anything else to support position. So you're being extremely generous.
Yeah, and all the other shit that she said is very bad. So yeah, no, to take off my very generous hat, fuck her and her conservative
this is bad.
Yeah.
We did promise that this would be a show about memes, so just want to mention the absolutely fucking excellent meme I've seen going around about this issue, which is of the monkey like drowning somebody, and it was the fucking birthday cake thing. Did you see that?
No, I've seen the monkey one.
Oh, so the meme is in reference to this. Okay, so I should... So a 2-year-old girl in Australian immigration detention was denied a birthday cake, and this became a news story. And then Christina Keneally, who's been extremely vocal, especially on Twitter, tweeting shit like, you know, Peter Dutton says that he's been tough on immigration, on illegal immigration, and is committed to keeping our borders strong, but he's actually been failing on this account, and we are going to do better than him. So really, you know, going full authoritarian on him. And then she tweeted, is this what we've become? We're not even giving birthday cake to children. And so there's, if you haven't seen it, there's that very excellent meme going around of the two versions of the same photo of a monkey drowning a person. And on the left it says, LNP, and on the right is the ALP, except the person that they're drowning is wearing a birthday hat.
I had seen that meme, but not gotten the full context of the birthday cake thing. I thought it was just a joke about how they have the same bullshit thing, but they're like, we're being nice about it.
Well,
it's
such a good meme because it goes that, like, it makes sense even if you don't know the context of this very specific story, but also if you go deeper, there's so much there. And it's like, that's the good shit. I know we've got a segment that we're going to do later called Shit Post of the Week, which we have actually awarded to someone else. But this would come in as a strong runner-up.
Yeah. So before Zach mentioned something about mandates, I just wanted to go on a little rant about how mandates are a fucking dumb concept in our electoral system. Because, you know, a thumping victory is like 52 or 53% in favor of one party. That's like it, because that's a 6% margin. That's huge. And so whenever any government gets into power, they're like, oh, we have a mandate from the population to do all of this thing that we said. But actually, barely, like, actually, it's even less than that, because the primary votes are, like, in the low 30% for both Liberal and Labour. And so, it's like a good third of the country voted for neither of them. And then they get into power and they're like, very slightly more than half of our population support our shitty views. And it's just not true by any stretch of the imagination. And look, to be fair...
Wait. You're saying that politicians are just completely bullshitting us?
I know, it's a radical position.
Okay, alright, fuck. Let me absorb
cynical
that.
If you
let
will.
Let me absorb that. I will. I will call you cynical. Please continue.
Mandates. They don't have them. The opposition doesn't have them. No one has a mandate. And also because, like, they go to the election with, like, a bunch of different policies, and people vote for, like, oh, I want that one thing, even though I hate all of the rest of the shit. And then they get into power, and they're like, suddenly we've decided everything is what people are supporting. So, anyway, next time someone tells you they have a mandate, tell them that you have a mandate to piss on them. And...
Jesus.
Do it. That's my mandate, right?
We're officially endorsing urination as important
political
and non-violent
protest.
Direct action.
Yeah.
Oh, is it non-violent? Look, I guess that's a matter of opinion.
Flame us in the comments. Is pee violent?
Thank you for your rant. I apologize for interrupting mid-rant. That was extremely bad podcast
that's
etiquette. Kind of following on from what you were saying... about the, you know, about the number of people who actually voted for each party. Yesterday I saw a guy talk, and I can't remember his name, maybe I'll look it up later, but I probably won't, he's from Central Poland? A polling company, Australian polling organization.
I thought you said Central Poland.
Essential.
Essential
Poland, that's a poll, right?
Yeah.
Essential Poland is a poll.
Good old Central Poland. Yep.
Deeply relevant. The next 20 minutes will be devoted to local politics in Krakow. he explained something that I thought was kind of interesting, and this was part of a panel at Progress, which I'll get into and rant as I'll do a rant to match your rant right after I rant about this thing. But he was basically explaining that part of the reason why the polling was so off is that when they do the primary vote polling, that they take out of the sample anybody who doesn't say that they're voting for either of the major parties.
Right.
And so the polls that were coming out before the election, which had, you know, a relatively decent margin in favor of Labour, maybe it was 52-48, something like that. And he was saying that realistically, that number was probably something closer to 48-44, and you have like 8% of people who are completely undecided. And if obviously those people swing really hard one way or the other, your polling data is completely off.
Polls are also, preferences are allocated in polling according to the previous election, which is a sensible way to do it as far as like you have to figure out some way to do it, but in practice that's not a very reliable method, as
yep.
we have seen.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I just thought that was an interesting, like, you know, talking about mandates and the amount of people who actually voted for either party.
Reminds me of an American anarchist slogan that every election the majority of Americans don't vote for anyone and they lose.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah.
So I mentioned that I saw this dude speak at Progress. I really should have learned his name before talking about this, but he'll be fine. So yeah, I attended Progress. I was sent by my work.
So what is Progress?
Progress is what's the best way to describe it? It's you know, it's billed as a conference, the flagship conference for the progressive movement in Australia. It's mostly people from large NGOs coming together, and there's lots of kind of talks and panels and backslapping. And yeah, I attended for the first time this year. So there's a couple of quite long and good threads on the Ausbolship Posting Facebook page if you want to kind of get a little bit more detail on this stuff. But just to sum up, it's extremely inaccessible financially. The tickets cost upwards of $400. I think some of them go for almost $600 in certain cases.
So progressive.
Yeah, super fucking progressive. So that was, that's kind of one very obvious thing. There's hella corporate sponsorships. There was literally, you know, when you read a newspaper and there's like an ad that is supposed to look like an article, content, I feel like it's called, maybe.
Sure.
It's called native content. So there's a lot of kind of like, not heaps, but there was native content where basically Bank of Australia, for example, who was the major sponsor, would kind of get on stage with other progressive activists or whatever and have these sort of like scripted discussions. And then you'd get a little pop-up on the Progress app, which, you know, everybody has, you know, download the Progress app. It's got the schedule and you can get reminders for when you want to see XYZ session. And get little push notifications from Bank Australia through the Progress app being like, divest now, put your money in clean hands, and this kind of shit.
I mean, full transparency, I bank with Bank Australia, and they do seem fine, but also...
maybe banks shouldn't be funding
the, of the progressive.
Progressive movement. You know, and if I need to explain that, I'm just not going to. But yeah, so the other real major issue that came up was how inaccessible the conference was to disabled people. It's physically a very inaccessible venue. It was held at Melbourne Town Hall. And as was noted multiple times throughout the conference, the walls like lined with portraits of crusty old colonial white men, which is, you know, obviously just a lovely touch. a lovely backdrop for the...
For people at home, you just miss Zach doing a little Italian chef kiss.
Yeah. I'll try to make that louder next time. So that was the other kind of major issue. There was a real focus on representation of First Nations people. A number of excellent speakers, from Bruce Pascoe to Niuka Gori, who did, you know, say some really salient and interesting stuff. But I think this was partially in response to being chewed the fuck out for it last year, having basically no First Nations representation. And what they've done is they've clearly made a lot of effort to correct that, and I think that was one of the few positive takeaways from what was otherwise a pretty hollow, corporate and uninspiring, self-congratulatory circle jerk, which left me feeling pretty deflated. Go on.
I just wanted to say, you know, this pains me to admit, but I actually went to the atheist convention in 2012. And it sounds like almost identical, except there weren't very many First Nations people. There was one Muslim woman, but that was as non-white as the atheist convention goes. But it sounds like a very similar experience altogether.
Shot. Yeah.
And just our last bit of news this week. You probably are all aware about John Setka, the alleged violent misogynist, who allegedly said a bunch of shit about Rosie Batty and about men's rights recently. And you probably all don't need a recap on that, but there's been a big shit fight in the Labour Party about it, and the union movement, and the ACTU and everything. But his second-in-command, a guy called Sean Reardon, has quit from his position as the deputy of the Victorian CFMMEU, which, good on you, Sean.
Yeah, basically that's the whole story. Good work. You know, he specifically stepped down. He seems to be implying that with his statement that he's stepping down specifically because of these comments from Setka.
I think that is.
You know, I mean, it might seem obvious, but obviously that, like, you know, these people kind of have to mask everything that they do and say in euphemism, which is one of the reasons why our political system is super functional and awesome. But so, you know, he came as close as I think that he seemingly could to literally saying, I disagree with
fuck
this
you,
blatant fucking misogyny, and he's just clearly a trash human. I think he said, we fundamentally disagree on issues by which I would live and die. So, you know, some pretty, like, emotionally charged language there, which is, like, you know, good to see.
A man in a position of power in the organization that's...
This actually
all...
seeding ground,
yeah,
and putting his money where his mouth is, so to speak.
100%.
Soon to be lack of money,
yeah,
I guess. Yeah.
And now it's time for Shitpost of the Week.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go with that.
Cool. Yeah. Well, look, as we all know, there's shitposts and shitposts, and this is definitely a shitpost. This is from.
Nailed it.
Thanks. From Blair Cottrell, who you may know as a steroid-using neo-Nazi who tried to beat up a street performer a couple months ago. Yep. And
I'm grimacing.
He is. Quite a lot. And he made a post this week with a screenshot of a letter from his bank, Westpac, I believe it is. And in it, they inform him that they will be closing his account at the end of the month. And I'm just going to read out the post that Blair Cottrell made there. So,
And like, you know, fucking content warning for being a massive Nazi misogynist piece of shit.
Yeah, what I'm about to read does not reflect my views. Yeah. Lol, world communism in effect. They're closing my bank accounts now too and won't even tell me why. We hope you will appreciate that we are not able to provide you with any further information about our commercial imperatives. But we already know why, don't we? It's because I know the truth about the international ethnic genocide of white people. I know who's doing it and why. I know the truth about recent history. I know why they're pushing your kids to be gay and transgender. I know the real purpose of feminism. I just know too much. They'll have to think about how they're going to kill me, though, because this really won't affect me much. Thanks, Blair.
They're going to have to think about how they're going to kill me.
This fucking communist Westpac bank.
Yeah, welcome to the revolution, Westpac. Wow, I mean, they always have had that red logo, so...
That's very true.
Then again, so did NAB. Mm-hmm. And I guess, I don't know. Let's see who he opens an account with next.
Bank. I mean, it's pretty fucking transparent.
Open your eyes.
Through the looking glass, fucking here, people.
There's probably too much to unpack there. If you disagree that that is the shittest post of the week, please respond with what you think is a shitty one. Or, here's an idea, craft one from scratch. Produce some content.
We need the memes.
We really need the memes. I don't know if page engagement is down, but like, page engagement is down, people.
Yeah, sure. Cool. Well, that's us for the week or month or however long we're going to do these.
Or potentially ever.
Yeah.
Potentially ever.
Potentially ever.
I just wanted to flag with you guys that we are completely open to the idea of never doing this again. Just want to be super clear on that.
Yeah. So let us know exactly how bad this was and what we were wrong about.
So, you know, this should be a thing that, like, you people on the page are actually interested in, because otherwise literally nobody will care or listen. So, is that a good note to end it on?
Yep.
Do we need
Rate and review on iTunes. We're not on iTunes, but if we were, you should have already rated and reviewed us.
So I'm trying to think of a sign off real quick. That could be it.
All right. Bye.